You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
LaPierre to the goal mouth. Michael pulls it back and scores between the legs.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings.
He won't last long at the draft in Montreal.
He's a legitimate challenger to go first overall. He really is, Gordon.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I am Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men, presented by Manscaped, an official partner of the LA Kings. Thanks to this revolutionary company, manscaping accidents are a thing of the past. Just get yourself the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Inside, you'll find products like their Lawnmower 3.0, which is advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't cut you. Everything you need to keep trimmed and smelling nice is in the Perfect Package 3.0. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KINGSMEN at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com and use the code KINGSMEN. We brought this up on All the Kings Men Live a few weeks ago, but personally, I view the draft as the end of one season and the opening of free agency as the start of a new one. So, this is the season premiere of another season of All the Kings Men. We still have no idea when the new NHL season will start, but today we've got head coach of the Sudbury Wolves, Corey Stillman, in to talk about Quinton Byfield, who, as you all know, the Kings selected with the second overall pick in the 2020 NHL entry draft. Joining me now, former NHLer and head coach of the Sudbury Wolves, Corey Stillman. How are you doing today, Corey?
Very well, thank you.
So, Quinton Byfield is drafted second overall by the LA Kings. You yourself were a sixth overall pick in the 1992 entry draft. So, I mean, you've got some personal experience being a highly rated, high taken draft pick. Obviously, the league was a bit smaller. The internet was a bit smaller. But how much pressure is on a player in that position being taken in the top 10 of an NHL entry draft?
Well, I think in today's game, there's a little more pressure than back then, just based on social media and what you can find on the internet. When I was going through at that time, yes, highly rated, but I don't think ratings came out until the Hockey News was published and you had to put your hands on it. And today we have people watching games all over the world and finding out what players are who they play like, what they're about, what they're looking at. And you know, for young kids going through the game today, I think you've got to be on your best every night. And for the pressure, we do grow with it. Quinton was a great player all the way through minor hockey. Everybody knew from probably Pee Wee on he was going to be number one or two in the OHL. And once we got here, I think after his first year, there was always the Lafreniere, Byfield, you know, question who's going to go number one. So he's been playing with pressure his whole career.
How much does a player handles that pressure get factored into how he's rated by scouts? You know, if a guy sort of can't handle it, will that dramatically hurt his standing?
I think if a player can't handle it, yes, he will drop in ratings, and that comes to the base of the consistency of game in, game out, and there's going to be eyes on top players every night. So you have to be at your best. And if you're having weekends where you're great on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're not very good. The following weekend, Friday, Saturday, you're good. Sunday, you know, your game's not there. They're going to start, you know, they're going to mark every little box that they have would be, you know, consistency's not there. And at the NHL level, you can't afford players to take nights off and show up two out of three games or say, you know, 7 out of 10, your best players are your best players night in, night out. And these kids learn to do it. And Quinton, you know, from 16 to 17 is learning to do it. And I think he's only going to get better with age.
Let's talk a little bit about your career and use that as a sort of lens to look through to Byfield's potential. Like I said, sixth overall pick in the 92 entry draft. Two-time Stanley Cup winner. You win it on two different teams in back-to-back seasons, one of only, you know, two handfuls of guys to do that. But then you become the player development coach in Florida for a season, then the director of player development and forward development for the Hurricanes for 5 years. How much of your current job as coach were you prepared for in that role as director of player development?
Well, for me, the day I retired, I had a job, and I have to thank Dale Talon about that. It was my last year playing. I was in Florida. They were going to make some moves, trying to change the organization, and he said, "I'm going to trade you, but what you've done here with the young guys, when the day you retire, whether it's this year, next year, the year after, let me know. I'm going to have a job for you in player development." And it ended up being that summer that I called back. But I think as I go through my career, when you're young, you're in there playing, you're working. As I got older, I was brought into teams to play with young players and great players and that. And I think maybe the coaching came out then on helping and maybe not being able to do everything, but at least be able to explain how to do it. So I go from playing up to age 36, 37, helping players out probably my last 5-6 years to development where you're in and out to the last 3 years. This was supposed to be our fourth year here in Sudbury, to coaching where you get to use everything you've learned from junior hockey to I played in the minors to the NHL to playing with superstars to will be Hall of Fame coaches and Jack Adams coaches. You take everything, all you can handle, put it in your box, and then try to help young kids. And in junior in the Ontario Hockey League, you're 16 to 20 years of age. Kids are learning a lot about the game and a lot about growing up from being away from home, having to play all the time, playing in front of fans, you know, whether it's 2,000 or not, or 10,000 fans. Take what you've learned and pass it on, and I think that's the way our game continues to grow.
You've got one son who currently plays for you in Sudbury, Chase, and another, Riley, who has already been drafted in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, has played about half a season in the NHL. So, I mean, it seems to me that you're probably perfectly situated to be the coach of someone like Quinton Byfield, as I said, having been a first-round pick and having won the Stanley Cup and now having children about his age going through very similar things. So, I mean, I don't know how to ask. I mean, obviously Byfield was taken second overall, so he's great. But I mean, what do you see in him as a person that makes you optimistic about his career potential?
Well, I think living through the experience of living through today's game is a big thing, right? Riley, he is 22 years of age. Chase is 17. So yeah, you throw Quinton in the middle. I've been around the junior game right now for a long time with the development role, watching. As you can come in, you have hands-on experience of what kids are going through their rookie year, their draft year. For some is, you know, you've been drafted. It's still a long ways to the NHL. You get sent back to play junior. Now for me to coach you through the next couple of years, so when you leave to become a pro, you can make the jump, whether it's to the AHL or right into the NHL. And, you know, as a father, as a coach, yes, you would like, you know, everybody on your team, all your kids to get drafted to go play in the NHL. To me, it's the best game going. It's how do we get there and how do we have you prepared? So when you're a pro, when it's, you know, it's kind of a job, you're working at it, you're ready to go right from day one.
Obviously, Quinton is 6'4". I think he said 6'4¾" recently. So he's trying to push that up to 6'5". But I mean, he's known for being fast for his size. But I mean, realistically, is he not just fast for any size?
He's going to be fast for any size. And when you get a kid who's that big, sometimes say their leg strength can't handle the weight of their body, their coordination isn't there, and they get faster. Quinton can skate, and that was one of the biggest things for him, is how quickly he can get onto pucks, how quickly he can recover from a mistake at 6'5", probably 220 pounds, 19 years of age. You're a man in a man's body right now that's only still going to get bigger and stronger. He'll surprise people. You don't think guys that big can skate as well as he does in junior levels when you're at six, some kids are 150 pounds, some could be 200, but not carrying it, he separates himself from everybody very quickly.
There's a lot of talk about the game changing to more speed, more skill-based, but some of the pushback that I've heard from various, you know, corners of the industry is that maybe the game needs to slow a little bit down just because some guys move faster than they can think, or sometimes move faster than their line mates can process the game. Can Quinton think the game as fast as he can physically execute it?
I think he can, yes. And that's it's a question that would have been asked a lot about him this year on it. People would say about hockey sense. And I think what's happened sometimes is that he plays it so fast that some of his line mates weren't there to speed with him. Thinking it, and again, when he takes off, I wouldn't have too many guys on my team that could play and think with him. So I think when he gets to the NHL, when things are done faster, quicker, it might simplify his game a little bit more and even make him a better player and him be able to make the play he wants to play because somebody's already there.
How difficult, this is sort of a side question, but how hard is it to gauge the real talent and potential of a guy who's 16, 17, 18 years old when he's playing in these leagues surrounded by other players that maybe won't have the same kind of career as they will?
It gets tough. It would always be nice to see. And when you talk when you ask me about my question about going through the draft, as I played with Todd Warner, who was also a high pick in the NHL, and the Ottawa 67s just had it this year with Jack Quinn and Marco Rossi. And, you know, if you can put two elite players on a team on the same line that are NHL caliber, and one's a center and one's a winger, I think then you'll start to see how good these players are and how they dominate games. And for Quinton, at times as his coach, I was trying to find guys that were going that night to play with him. So some nights he'd have different line mates. It was like, how do we keep Quinton going? We know he's going to be good for almost 2 points a game. How do we get him to three? How do we get him to four? And that was finding different players every night instead of just having that rock solid, you know, left winger, right winger that I knew was going to be an NHLer also.
We talked to Brian Cooper and Mike Karafalides earlier this summer, the play-by-play guys for your Sudbury Wolves. They were sort of raving about his ability to just grab the puck, you know, steam up ice on his own, make a move, leave guys behind him. We've sort of been covering this already, but can he be a playmaker? Can he set up guys and improve his line mates?
I think he can, yes. I really do. It's basically the highlight goals. Sometimes when they're watching games, like sure. He does score highlight goals. But what goes unnoticed is a 5-foot pass or a 3-foot pass or jumping in and creating space. And he does that. It just goes unnoticed because of what he did when he had the puck, right? So you put him with some good wingers, some experienced wingers out there, like Jeff Carter, and can teach him and work with him. His career could take off again because you have a guy here that is willing to hound pucks, can skate, can make plays. It makes the game a lot easier for your line mates.
That brings up a great question that I am always desperate to know this, and it's rare that you get a chance to ask somebody who might give you the real answer. But there's been a lot of talk about how incredible it would be to have someone like Anze Kopitar, you know, Dustin Brown, someone like Jeff Carter, et cetera, available to mentor someone like Quinton Byfield. But I'm always curious, do older players actually impart that much mentorship to young? Like how much can an older player actually improve a younger player's game by being a quote-unquote mentor? And how much are they just sort of there and you hope that the younger player, you know, uses that?
I know what you're asking. It can be done. And you have you need the right player to do it, the player who's willing to take the time to talk to him. Guys who've played in the league now for 10 or 12 years, they know what's right, what's wrong, or they should. So you have guys like that can add their little bit, go through their experience of, hey, when I was young, I couldn't do this either. These are the plays you have to make right now. You're going to get a little leeway. Kopitar is going to have more leeway than what Quinton Byfield will have last year. Why? Because he can do it year after year after year. is showing him these are the little steps. It's a big step from junior to pro. So the right guys there willing to put in the time, and that's not, you know, being hard on him all the time. Sometimes it's correcting him before the coach has to correct it, coming back to the bench, talking to him, as long as he's willing to absorb the information that these all-stars, and that's what they are giving you, your game is going to improve. And again, if I'm a guy who's 30 to 32 years of age, 35 years of age, and we're going through, and I can get a young kid and we have some chemistry and it goes from 20 to 25 or 25 to 30 or whatever, walking out that I got this young kid I'm helping, our line's producing, it helps everybody in our organization.
You mentioned the fact that, you know, we only see the highlight reels of these guys when they're being touted for the draft and everything. And one of the things that drives me crazy is you see these fights, for example, the last 6 months, it's been Byfield versus Stützle. Who should the Kings take? And you get people saying, well, Stützle doesn't like to shoot enough and Byfield, you know, is too big and blah, blah, all these fights. And the only thing that I want to know is how do they play without the puck on their stick? But of course that never makes it to the highlight reels. So, I mean, can Byfield become a player like Andrzej Kopitar, play that 200-foot game? Is he, you know, more one-dimensional like Patrick Laine? Like, where does he fit into the ecosystem?
No, the one thing that we've been working on here and I've been trying to teach him is that 200-foot game. And if you talk to him, he'll admit at the start he didn't know how to check. But now getting out of it in junior hockey, he plays a 200-foot game. He's down battling in our own zone to create offense. He's learning, and when he's on to this fullest, he comes from behind. And when, as a coach, when you're going through it, there's guys when things aren't going well, they just cheat and they, you know, blow the zone. They're hoping to get a bounce. Quentin and I have an understanding is that you're going to create your own offense. Is you have to have the puck, you have to be around it, which means you're going to have to come into our own zone, stop and start. You're strong enough to play down low. You're big enough to play down low, and you can excel that between the top, between the goal line and the hash marks. If there's a player on, you've already separated yourself. So I see him being a Kopitar type player that, you know, every team wants a big centerman who can, if he can do that, and if he excels the way he should, he's going to be a great player there in LA.
Was that a lesson that you had to learn in your career? And if so, when did you learn it?
Everyone has to learn it. And to me, it goes why sometimes when you're going through NHL drafts and you're going through, you got a first rounder, you got a second rounder, and all of a sudden you're going through and it's like all of a sudden, in the same draft year, the third rounder, the second or third rounder might play in front of the first rounder. And it's why. And it's because this guy has not been the elite scorer, the playmaker. He's had to play the 200-foot game, and that will excel you to the NHL faster than being one-dimensional. So did it take me a bit of time? I think it did. I spent 2 years in the minors, you know, thinking you're ready to go. Now looking back, the minors for me would have been the best thing because I developed more of a hockey game and I ended up playing more years than people that played in the NHL before me.
I've got a couple of questions that I sort of have to ask for the fans, and I secretly want to know myself. If I waved my magic wand and gave you complete control over Quentin's career, would you have him start in the NHL this season, or would you have him go?
I can't answer that one.
I figured
because it's too tough. If he's ready to play at the NHL, have him play in the NHL. Right? They're young kids. They have to go in a role that you're going to see ice times where you know you're not counted on to be the difference of a hockey game night in, night out, but you can. If in an 82 game schedule, if Quentin was only going to dress for 12, 14 games, I'd say it would be best to play junior. But if you're going in playing 76 out of the 82 games and can be relied upon and counted upon to play the game at that level, then he should stay in the NHL.
There's a phrase that I hear all the time, mostly on social media and fan message boards, and it's, he has nothing left to prove at the lower level. And it's one of those things where, you know, you've got a guy like Byfield or Arthur Kaliev where you go, look, it's the AHL, or sorry, the NHL or juniors. He can't play in the AHL. He's too young. And so the argument is, well, if he just goes back to juniors, he's just going to dominate for another year. And that he's got nothing left to prove. Is that, is it true that a player can reach a point where there's quote unquote nothing left to prove?
There is a point where you could nothing to prove, but you better be very special. And if you're at that point, you're going to be at the NHL, right? Like, when you talk about that, you said a little bit about Kaliev, right? And changing subjects here, but there's a lot of his game. Yes, he can score at the NHL level. He has an NHL, but there's going to be parts of his game that would, you know, cause the head coach or the assistant coach to be like, we're not putting him on the ice. Right? Now, coming back to junior, when you've scored all your goals and you dominate the league, if you're not willing to buy in, it creates bad habits. Habits are hard to break. So, you know, like, go way back. When Eric Lindros was coming out of junior, he had nothing to prove. Correct. Right? He's 18 years of age. He's a man. He can move on. There's other guys, Leon Draisaitl started in the NHL, but then had to go back into junior because, yes, he was putting up points, but there was more to his game. There's more to the NHL than just scoring.
Well, God bless you for saying that, because I constantly get in fights with people where they say the point of the game is to score goals, and I always say, no, it's the point of the game is to score more goals than your opponent. When the Kings were making their decision, Byfield versus Stützle, how much contact did they have with you?
Every team will call. You know, if you're in the running to get a top pick and that player is on your team, they're going to call and ask for, you know, all the information that you can give and I can give as a coach and, you know, who they're comparing them to. And it's difficult for me as a coach here in the Ontario Hockey League to have compared Quinton to Stützle, because I don't see Stützle night in, night out, where I see Quinton every day, right? Mm. So they're going to call. They want to do all their background information. And then it's up to, what, LeGrubetal and Rob Blake to make that final decision along with their head scout. So, yeah, you are in contact with them. And then it's, you know, give them, for me, the way I work is I give them the information, all the information they want. Good to bad, right? I'm selling my player, but I'm not going to sell them something that he's not.
If Quinton does wind up playing another season in Sudbury, I don't know if you've got other guys, but I imagine you might have other guys drafted to other NHL teams. Is there ever any sort of extra pressure, whether it's from the teams or just subconscious, to make sure that these guys who have been drafted are, you know, getting the right ice time to help their career or being showcased or highlighted? Is it difficult to juggle those responsibilities?
It does come in there. So if Quinton comes back last year, he was the best player in our league. So now we're coming back. He's a year older. I would, you know, put some pressure on the organization and the staff in order to, you better be taking a run at the Memorial Cup. Player like this doesn't come around very often, right? So now it's a lot of moving parts, but now, you know, we have two other guys, we have three, four other guys who have been drafted to the NHL. You're getting to a point, when you go, Quinton puts you over the top.
Final question, and feel free not to answer it. Would you have taken Quinton Byfield with the first overall pick in this year's draft?
Well, tough one. tough one.
Had to ask it.
No, and you know what? To me, I would, because I know what Quinton is every day compared to Lafreniere, and also because you're built, you know, down the middle of the ice. And he's 6'4", as he says, 6'3", 4¾". You have a 6'5" centerman that can play a 200-foot game. I guess time will tell over, you know, the next 5-10 years to see. But they're both great players, and you're not going to go wrong with either one of them.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time, Corey. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks a lot.